Hi, everybody. It's me, Duncan Trussell. And since this is national, don't let the seething sea of anger inside of you take over your life month. I thought I would play for you this viral clip. You've probably already heard it, but it is a clip of a poor little gnome-like creature screaming at a trumpeter on the streets of New York City. And it is an example of what happens when you allow the demon anger to possess your poor, hunched, tiny, angry New York body and send you down into the streets to really give it to a lonely trumpeter who isn't that good.
Any kind of artist? Anybody know who you are? Maybe everybody else wants to enjoy the peace and quiet. This is one of the most important places in all of North America. Who are you? Who are you? You miserable, presumptuous, no talent. You're no artist. An artist respects the silence that serves as the foundation of creativity. You obviously don't have the talent. You don't have enough respect for yourself or other people, or what it is to express yourself. In music, or any other form of creativity. And I'm an NYU film school graduate, sucker, and the School of Visual Arts, and the Academy of Art University in San Francisco. You suck. You are no talent. If you really had talent, go practice. And then get yourself a gig instead of ruining the end of the day for everybody down here. You disgrace. You're everything that's gone wrong in this world. You're self-consumed, no talent, mediocre piece of shit. And I've earned my right to say it. Okay? I had 200,000 people with Bill Graham in 1975. I walked Bob Dylan up on stage. Who the fuck are you? I knew the Grateful Dead from 1966. Who the fuck are you?
If you ever find yourself on the street corner screaming that silence is the foundation of creativity, it's time to start reading Ram Dass or Thich Nhat Hanh or Deepak Chopra or drinking kava kava or exercising or eating hemp sandwiches, whatever it takes to make you more of a hippie. It's very sad and hilarious. I mean, look, I don't know. Having a trumpeter move into your neighborhood is probably similar to having scabies infest your neighborhood. The last thing you want picking your street corner is an aspiring trumpeter. Fledgling trumpeters have been tormenting people from the beginning of trumpeting. My prayer is that if you happen to have a New York hell gnome living in your heart, that this week you keep him locked up in that basement. And don't let him come scrambling out to scream at whatever annoying version of this trumpeter pops up into your subjective universe over the next few days. Don't let the hell gnome free. Keep him locked down. To quote Lord Raymond Finch from his amazing book, Windows of My Soul, inside every human being is a southern mansion. And within that southern mansion is a basement. And within that basement is it the product of incest, hunched and shivering, foaming at the mouth, using his nipple blood to paint pictures of demons on the wall. We must keep the incest child locked in the mansion of our hearts. If we open the door to the southern mansion within us, which is of course the mouth, then we must be sure that the basement is locked, or the incest child will throw his excrement out of the door in the form of cruel words and cutting statements. Keep the incest child locked in your heart, my friends, this week. Keep that poor, hunched, quivering thing with its oozing nipples spraying what looks like a combination of ranch and Italian dressing onto the dark, musty walls of that eternal prison. We must control ourselves, maintain mindfulness, and whenever the thing does start slinging shit words out of our sweet pie holes, may we be mindful of what comes out so we can change the pattern. This very pattern of slinging shit at each other is the source of all wars. Control the hell gnome. The great Thich Nhat Hanh has a more merciful outlook on what to do when you have a New York hell gnome inside the incest basement that exists within the southern mansion of your soul. This is an excerpt from the audiobook, The Art of Mindful Living, by Thich Nhat Hanh. And he's an amazing Buddhist author who's written a ton of great books on mindfulness and Buddhism. But he has a much more merciful outlook. He doesn't see the thing as an incest child. He sees the thing that causes his anger to explode out of you as a little crying baby. I mean, I guess that it could be an incest baby, but he doesn't say that.
When you have some anger in yourself, you bring mindfulness up in order to take care of your anger. And mindfulness become mindfulness of anger. Breathing in, I know that I am angry. Breathing out, I know that anger is in me now. You are taking good care of the guest in your living room. Because mind consciousness is the living room, and the store consciousness is your basement, where you keep many things. And when something unpleasant appear in the living room, it's like a baby crying in the living room, mother has to come and take care of the baby, holding the baby in her hands, in her arms, with loving kindness. Mindfulness is the mommy. When the baby of anger is crying a lot, kicking a lot, mother mindfulness has to come up and hold the baby in her arms. Because she is tenderness, she is love, she is care herself. That is why 1 minute or 2 minutes later, the baby stops crying and kicking. Mindfulness has the power of calming and stopping. If you continue to breathe in and out mindfully and embracing your anger in it, you will transform your anger. When the mommy holds the baby in her arms, her power of love and care will calm the baby. But that's not the only thing the mommy does. Mommy is looking more deeply to find out why the baby is crying. And she may find out that the baby has some temperature, or the baby may have some trouble in his stomach, things like that. And that is the work of looking deeply to see the real causes of the pain. And that is the other aspect of meditation, vipassana.
So that is a clip from Thich Nhat Hanh, The Art of Mindful Living. We have to be mindful and understand why the baby in our basement is crying, and then comfort and hold the baby instead of throwing bricks at him. Doesn't work that way. Here, now I'm going to play just one more clip, then we're going to get going with this podcast. This clip, I think, is a great example of what happens when people bring into action the stuff that Thich Nhat Hanh was talking about and decide to stop playing shit ping pong with the world. So this is a clip from The Daily Show. This is Malala Yousafzai. I don't know how to say her last name. She was shot in the face by the Taliban in Pakistan because she is an education advocate. And this is her talking about it with Jon Stewart from The Daily Show on Comedy Central.
You realize the Taliban had made you a target.
When in 2012 I was with my father, and someone came and she told us that, have you seen on Google that if you search your name and the Taliban have threatened you? And I just could not believe it. I said, no, it's not true. And even after the threat, when we saw it, I was not worried about myself that much. I was worried about my father, because we thought that the Taliban are not that much cruel that they would kill a child, because I was 14 at that time. But then later on, I started thinking about that, and I used to think that the Talib would come and he would just kill me. But then I said, if he comes, what would you do, Malala? Then I would reply myself that, Malala, just take a shoe and hit him. But then I said, if you hit a Talib with your shoe, then there would be no difference between you and that Talib. You must not treat others that much with cruelty and that much harshly. You must fight others, but through peace and through dialogue and through education. Then I said, I'll tell him how important education is and that I even want education for your children as well. And I'll tell him, that's what I want to tell you. Now do what you want.
I know your father is backstage, and he's very proud of you, but would he be mad if I adopted you? Because you sure are swell.
Isn't that incredible? It's really cool to put the New York Hell Gnome next to the Pakistani Angel and notice how the thing that they have in common is the way that they're dealing with anger is so potent that it's spreading all over the planet. Only in the case of the New York Hell Gnome, what's spreading across the planet is a kind of garish display of hate. And in the case of beautiful Malala Yousafzai, what you're seeing spread around the planet is an example of what happens when people transmute the anger inside of them into love. Both are really potent. Both have completely different effects on the world. So the next time you find yourself about to go screeching at a trumpeter outside your house, take a breather. Hold the little incest baby. Feed him some pork rinds. Comb his straggly, oily hair. And try to understand why he's crying. Okay, let's get on with the podcast. Did you know that according to a recent poll done by the Computer Friends Club, that there is an 80% chance that if you hire a web designer, he will end up murdering you or one of your family members? You don't want to watch some freak you found on Craigslist eat your daughter? Don't go through that. Why would you put your life through that? You don't have to do that anymore. Now you can go to squarespace.com and safely build a website without having to involve some Craigslist lunatic who lives underneath a pile of old socks he ordered from teenagers in Thailand. Don't do that. Go to squarespace.com. If you put my name in, Duncan10, you'll get 10% off their service, which will allow you to create an amazing, aesthetically pleasing website. They've got all the bells and whistles, a shopping cart. That means that you can finally sell all those gold-plated molars you stole from graves when you were a grave robber in your teens. You can sell t-shirts. You can start a blog. Most importantly, you can use Squarespace to start a podcast. My friend Johnny Pemberton used Squarespace to design his website, and Squarespace used Squarespace to design their website. They've got an amazing customer service department. They have an online chat, and I actually tried emailing the customer service department because I wanted to see how long it would take for them to respond, and they wrote back within a couple of hours. So it's a great service. They have everything you need to create a professional website at a really low price, especially when compared to what you would pay for a web designer or the amount of time you would have to invest if you actually wanted to learn HTML and use Dreamweaver. If you put my name in, Duncan10, you get 10% off. And if you sign up for a year, it's $9 a month. That includes using the service to build your website, server space, and also you get a free domain name. So it's an extremely good deal. If you want to make a blog, if you've been putting off selling those French baby skulls, now you don't have any excuse. Come on, are you going to really build your storefront in three-dimensional space? It's not necessary. We don't have to construct objects jutting out of the time-space continuum if you want to sell stuff these days. Forget the whole Tea Party Main Street nonsense. Main Street is now the internet. Do you really want to have to deal with some shop at the beach where you have to worry every second for some lunatic who's been snorting bath salts might come bashing in through the window of your clever t-shirt shop and behead you and use your head to fish for sharks? Don't do it. Squarespace.com. You don't even have to pay to try out the service. You can actually just fiddle around with a thing to make sure that it works or suits your needs. They're super cool. This is a great company and an example of some of the awesome stuff that is flowering off of the tree of the internet that is rapidly growing into the singularity where we all merge together and become one orgasmic melding of inorganic and organic matter. That's coming from me. That's not from Squarespace. But they are a great company. Check them out. If you put my name in, Duncan10, you will get 10% off. And give it a shot. Sign up, for God's sake. They're supporting the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. And I had a very long chat with them, and they're super cool. All right. The Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast is also brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is a supplier of wonderful audiobooks. In fact, if you wanted to listen to the entire 2-hour speech of Thich Nhat Hanh talking about mindfulness, then you can get that on audible.com. It's available there. And you can get it for free if you sign up for a trial membership by going to audibletrial.com/familyhour. You'll get a free audiobook and you can cancel at any time and you get to keep the audiobook. So if you don't feel like shelling out $20 to buy the Thich Nhat Hanh book or any of the other books that they have there, including Dr. Sleep by the new Stephen King book, which is the sequel to The Shining, then you can go there, sign up, download it, cancel your membership, but you won't want to cancel your membership because you're going to get addicted to audiobooks, because audiobooks are like a balm given to us from God. They ease the pain of cleaning. You pop those earbuds in, put in a good audiobook, smoke some weed, and within a couple of hours, your house will look like the scrubbed interior of the Taj Mahal. Go to audibletrial.com/familyhour and get your free audiobook. Support the podcast. Every time someone signs up, they give us $15, which is awesome. Another great way to support the podcast is by going to our Amazon portal, which is located at duncantrussell.com. So the next time you're having some kind of paranoid episode and you know that going out in public will only make you pull your hair out or gouge your eyeballs out or dive in front of a train, then go to Amazon.com. In a recent poll done by Friends of Computer Friends, they found that the shopping carts have within them, and these are all shopping carts. If you put a microscope to a shopping cart, what you will see are the eyes of Satan gazing back at you. It's covered with over 7,000 different deadly viruses. We're talking impetigo sneezes from ill children pushed into the department store by their freaked out parents trying to buy cloth diapers to use to wipe up the blood of their recently executed husbands or wives. It's bad. Stay at home. If you want to go out to get into nature. Go to the beach. Go to a lake somewhere. Watch a sunset. But don't use your precious time to throw yourself into the hellish, weirdly lit environment of a department store. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. And you can support your podcast, your favorite podcast, the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, by going through our portal. So please do that, won't you? And finally, as always, the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast is supported by Shore Design T-shirts. Shore Design T-shirts manufactures the softest T-shirts ever worn by man. I guarantee that if that New York hell gnome had been wearing a Shore Design T-shirt, she would have brought flowers to the terrible trumpeter instead of screaming at him. Shore Design T-shirts, the fabric of their shirts feels like enlightenment wrapped around your skin. They have a lot of amazing designs, and you can check them all out by going to shoredesignt-shirts.com. If you put my name in, Duncan, you'll get 10% off your order. The shirts at our shop are actually made. The shirts at our shop at duncantrussell.com are designed by Shore Design T-shirts, which is why they're so very soft. Finally, thank you to all of you who have donated this last week or any previous week. And thank you to all of you who continue to listen to this podcast and who hang out at the DuncanTrussell.com forum. I invite those of you who haven't gone to a forum to go check it out. Share your recipes with us. Ask your important questions. Merge with the Duncan Trussell Family Hour family and become a moat of ecstatic love energy rolling off the oily forehead of the Godhead. Today's guests on the Duncan Trussell Family Hour are the original podcasters. These guys have been doing a podcast since 2005. Think about that. They are the innovators of a form that is now everywhere. The show gets countless listeners. The Duncan Trussell Family Hour and the Lavender Hour might not have happened if not for Keith and the girl. They were a big inspiration behind me podcasting, and we talk about that in the show. So if you want to check them out, you can find them at keithandthegirl.com. It's a great podcast. I highly recommend that you listen to it, that you tune into it. And also, they have a gigantic forum there themselves that has 35,000 members. They're huge, and they're very sweet to come on the show. They were just in LA for a few days, and they took an hour out to come and do this podcast, which I'm very grateful for because they're both awesome people. So, everyone, please open your heart chakras, push that hell gnome into a soft feather bed, tie him down, ball gag your hell gnome, wrap him in barbed wire, give him a hug, feed him pork rinds, and send your love energy blasts through your earbuds down into the earth, through the fault lines, so that they rise up from the dark, hardened hell floor of New York City and bathe these two beautiful people in a shimmering shower of sweet love. Yes, I'm stoned. Please welcome to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, Keith and Himda, also known as Keith and the Girl. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. I want to tell you guys a story before you get going about my podcast history, because my podcast history starts with you guys.
I'm in.
So I was doing a podcast with Natasha Leggero called The Lavender Hour, and we were doing it sporadically once every few weeks, just this kind of random thing, not taking it very seriously. And then Marshall Childs, who runs the Laughing Skull in Atlanta, which is this comedy club in Atlanta, randomly calls me up because he's been listening to our podcast, and he's like, you guys have to take this more seriously, because I like listening to you two talk, and it reminds me of Keith and the Girl. And he's like, Do you know about this? And I didn't know anything about any podcasts, anything. We were just doing this because I had done my friend's podcast, and it just seemed fun. But I didn't realize the potency of the thing until he starts sending me JPEGs of people painting your logo onto fucking bombs in the military.
Right.
Yeah.
Tattoos.
Yeah.
Tattoos of, like, you know, he talks about, like, how, you know, just saying what we now we all understand about podcasts, but you, or many of us, but you guys were the original. Basically, the original podcasters.
We started over 8.5 years ago now. And yeah, we knew we'd take it seriously. We knew we'd put our all into it. We still didn't know how big it even could end up. Never mind how it would end up.
Podcasting wasn't a thing that people were doing for money or for fame or for anything other than this is accessible and we really like doing it. And maybe it'll lead to, you know, people recognizing that we're talented in this way or that way, and then it'll launch into something else. Like, it wouldn't be the podcast that would be launched as a career, but it did. It did, and this is what we do for a living, and it's amazing. And thank you for having us on your show.
Are you kidding? Thank you for being on the show. When Sam emailed me saying that you guys would be on my show, I was like, holy fucking shit, that's incredible. These are the legends of podcasting.
And now I have to hire you as my nutritionalist.
Oh, no, please, no. I'm parroting something that my friend Tate Fletcher has told me. We had a conversation earlier about I'm cutting sugar out right now and bread out. Okay. And that's just because of this conversation I had with this guy, Tate Fletcher, who's this... He also has a podcast, and he's like just this giant, ripped guy. And he was just explaining to me, you know, how fat... Like, we've been taught to think eating fat is bad,
right,
from the old days. Like, don't eat fatty foods. Don't eat fat. But actually, eating fat, as it turns out, is great.
Like, but it still doesn't clog your art. I mean, I understand you have to lower everything. Lower your fat. Lower your carbs. Just, you know, add in more greens. Add in more vegetables. More fruits. But as far as I still know, and I've been trying to do it, and it's yeah. I'm definitely addicted. But as far as still I understand, the fats... At least when you're not doing it in moderation, still clog arteries and still block the passageways.
Let me say something. I am two things. One, I'm not a nutritionalist, and two, I'm a fool. So I'll hear something at a club for 30 minutes and make that my religion for a month or two.
But yeah, if I was hearing the show, I would hear, fats are actually good for you, and I just turn it off and go, good to know. Told you, honey.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing. But this is...
Lard counts, right?
What's that?
Lard counts.
Yeah, well, it's that. This is coming only because this is coming from a guy who, you know, is just giant and ripped and also very logical and really seems to really understand the chemistry behind it. Like,
it's funny how far vibe goes, because you were just vibing on this guy.
I will fucking drink poison. Yeah. This means is I will end up in a cult.
You fell in love with this guy. You had a man crush on him.
I love him.
Yeah.
No, in a weird way I did. Like, yeah, I got the alpha male spell put on me. Where it's like, hypnotized by muscles. I want to be alpha male too. Yep. But, you know, the idea is like... So the idea is there's fat burners and there's sugar burners. That's how he broke this down to me. So sugar burners.
What a great time at a club, by the way. It sounds like you guys had a blast.
Yeah. Oh, so fun. Well, this is the Comedy Store. So it's just like out front before doing a show. But there's fat burners and sugar burners. And if you get addicted to sugar, as most of us are, then your cycle of energy is dependent on how much sugar is in your body. So you start feeling really tired or foggy and weird at moments in your life, and that's because you're running out of sugar and you have to eat more sugar, and that's the endless cycle of sugar addiction. And what's happening, what's making people fat is not the fat. What's making people fat is that your body reacts to sugar in the same way farmers react to a great season of growing food. When sugar is like rain for your cells. And so what they want to do is store up all that extra energy. And that's what's making the fat. It's not eating fat. It's that you have all this insane, you know, brand new energy source. Way back in the day, if people wanted sugar, you know, they would have to find sugar cane or fruit.
But why doesn't the body know that, don't worry, body, I promise I will give you more pie. Just calm down, work it off. Here's my bank account. I have enough to get pie again tonight.
Because it's just like you know what? It's just exactly like the psychology of a crack addict. You can tell him, like, relax, I'm going to get you more crack. It's like, no, now, suck your dick right fucking now. That's your body with sugar. So anyway.
I have sucked dick for sugar. Is this an intervention? This is a little fucked up.
Intervention? No, you guys look great. By the way, you guys are healthy and fine. No, this is just for me. I don't know.
You are too, though.
Oh, you look amazing.
You guys are very sweet.
No, we're not being sweet. We wouldn't even bring it up. We would just call you fat behind our back.
We'd say, haha, you're silly. But we're going out of our way to say you look fit.
Thank you. Well, I haven't been eating bread and sugar.
Is this related to ball cancer?
Yes.
He likes to call it ball cancer, to be clear.
I call it ball cancer. Okay. And then I feel weird, like I feel like, ugh, I've embarrassed someone if they ask about it. Because I'm like, well, you know, when you get ball cancer, and then you feel like a weirdo. But it's...
Well, when you have it, you can call it whatever you want. I'm sorry if I made you uncomfortable
with my cancer.
With my ball cancer.
But you make...
People say breast cancer.
Right.
I say
titty cancer.
Yeah.
There, that's the exact, right, exactly. Breast cancer is fine. Boob cancer, tit cancer. Yeah, I don't, it's kind of related to it in the sense that when, I'm sorry, I already told you this, but when I was getting radiation, when you get radiation, you're nauseated constantly. So I would, my body would just only wanted carbs and pancakes specifically. Huh. So
because
I was,
isn't that very neutral? When I feel nauseated, bread or Triscuits, you know, the very tasteless foods are seem to not upset my stomach more. This, isn't that normal?
Yes, I think it was normal, and it's like, fuck it. You know, I'm getting my lymph nodes microwaved right now. I can eat whatever I want. And that got me really fat. That I gained more weight than I ever gained in my life from that. So now I'm just trying to, like, get healthy again. But it's not like I'm operating under the specter of cancer all the time, or I'm thinking like I should eat right because I'm afraid to die. It's more like I've noticed that when I eat right, I feel so much happier. I'm not as depressed or irritable or grumpy or weird. Right. And that's what sugar has done to everyone. Is it, you know, the whole country is on antidepressants. The whole country is like down in the dumps. And a lot of people don't realize that depression is not stemming from some psychic problem. It's just from your body getting freaked out by this weird chemical cycle that it's in. And when
we were just talking to a nutritionalist at Ellie Podfest. She does have a podcast. I'm sorry that I'm forgetting the name right now.
Is it nutritionist or nutritionalist?
Great question.
Nutritionalist?
I think it's nutritionist.
I'm the worst. Nutritionist?
Yeah.
Nutritionist. Somebody should know.
I don't know.
Anyway, we were talking to
Kinda
a food...
does this to me when I tell her what's up. I'm like, it's nutritionist. Well, somebody out there will know.
Oh, is it?
I think it is.
That, didn't he sound a little doubtful?
My think is like how I'm too nice.
You think you're too nice?
I'm quite sure.
No, let me explain. Just now he was being too nice, and he was not being direct so that I don't feel stupid. He was correcting me and going, well, you know, something in me tells me it's nutritionist and that you're fucking wrong, but he doesn't want to say that I'm wrong.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
This is something I've been wondering about.
Good. I brought up ball cancer.
Do you ball cancer. I the only reason I'm not talking about ball cancer is just because I feel like I've punched my talk about ball cancer ticket, and it's like I don't have anything else to say about it. I feel guilty talking about it, and also this is about you guys anyway.
Here's a question
I have.
Okay.
Do you think it's better to be honest yet criticize someone, or to be dishonest and make someone feel okay?
And in between, because then you have the people that are, you know, the former say, hey, I tell it like it is, but people need to be honest. I don't know about your sugar thing, but you're looking fat. I'm just telling how it is. I'm just saying what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
An in-between, I guess.
Yeah. Be aware of the conversation that you're having. Does this person want to know? Is he able to listen to you? Did he ask? You know?
Right.
But also, there's information that, you know, sometimes helps the conversation or helps to know where the other person is or where you are in your own brain. So you have to kind of balance it. That's the toughest part about anything, is not going one extreme or the other. No, don't tell me absolutely everything. But no, don't keep it to yourself. If you think, you know, I should know, maybe tell me gently if you're about to find, you know, if I'm about to find out something negative.
Right. I don't know. I don't know the answer. It's something I've been...
We just told you the answer.
Somebody out there will know.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like to get famous from podcasting, to be the first people who've seen... Because you guys are celebrities. You guys have a rabid following.
I know, that paparazzi out the window is really just distracting.
You know, I think you guys are modest, but you really are fake. Like, you have podcasting, you guys are podcasting celebrities.
Well, thank you.
I think we forget it, that people know us. I wouldn't say that we're famous, but we were just at LA Podfest, like right. I said, and it was fun to introduce ourselves and people say, yes, we know your show. And that always, especially with other comics. And so we feel like we're gaining the respect of not only our listeners, but it seems like also other comics, other people in podcasting.
It was very fun when you just told the story about your friend that runs a comedy club.
Yeah.
Calling you up, listen to Keith and the Girl. I'm like, I know that club. That's fun.
Yes, I think we're always surprised by it in a nice way, you know, basically. Like, so if we do get recognized on the street, we're surprised and excited by it and a little nervous about what we just said for the last 10 minutes because how long have you been listening, you know?
And on us, on the subway or wherever.
I always feel like that too. If anyone anyone who says they listen to my podcast, I always think, oh, that last episode was shit. I hope you were tuning into earlier episodes. But yeah, I know what you mean, but what's curious...
I've been on the subway, for example, and somebody was sitting next to me and we're going many subway stops. And then I get up and they say, oh, Keith, I really love your show. And I'm like, God, was I picking my nose? What was I doing?
Yeah.
Say something earlier.
Yeah.
Did I not let a elderly woman sit down in my seat? Like, let me know.
Yeah. And that's a very strange thing. Like when for me, I've been doing comedy for years. And, you know, I tour around with Joe Rogan and stuff, but I certainly wasn't in a place where I could I could headline in the sense that I had the material, but as far as like drawing crowds before podcasts, forget it because I wasn't on TV. I've done little things on TV. I've never really been on TV.
Now you're being modest, you know.
Well,
you've done some pretty impressive things.
I've done but since this thing happened, and to me, I think that's one of the beautiful things about podcasting is that, you know, for me, to be very, very honest with myself, TV never really liked me that much. They never did. They never liked me that much. And I'm cool with that. I recognize that. I'm not a symmetrical person. I'm a weird looking person. I talk about drugs a lot.
You know what? This is the sound that every comic makes, I think, you know?
Right.
TV doesn't like me. They want to, you know, a lot of it has to do with editing or not being me and the jokes are too harsh and blah, blah, blah. First of all, you're a very good looking person.
Yeah. You guys.
No, I you can't possibly not know that.
I feel very, I'm an insecure person.
Have you ever heard this? You're like a handsome Jason Lee.
I'm very insecure. God damn it. Now I feel like I'm fishing for stars.
No.
Well, the reason I'm saying this is...
it's because I'm the worst.
No.
Now you go.
You guys are so cool, man. You guys are... the reason I'm saying this is because what I love about this form of entertainment is that it has created an avenue... where people can do self-expression in the grand scale with no interference or no having to go, like...
No boss. Nobody telling you what you're producing and when you're producing it, when you have to stop the show and start the show, what you have to look like as you're doing it, what to stop saying and what to start saying and when to do that. Yeah, absolutely. It's complete freedom.
And the horror of the system right now is that the people who are getting microphones shoved in front of their faces... generally, a lot of it has to do with just the way they look. That's it. It just has something to do with their facial symmetry. It has something to do with, like, or they manage to navigate a system. Like, that's all TV is. That's all the movies are. It's a combination of talent. And then a lot of being able to navigate through this weird labyrinth of initiations that are called auditions till you get this thing. And once you've navigated that labyrinth, your image gets projected to the masses, and then that creates the phenomena people call fame, and then that's where suddenly people want to hear what you have to say. Right. Just because you navigated a labyrinth that got a camera on in front of you.
And there's a very nerve-wracking feeling of all or nothing, you know? And so I think that's why a lot of people, quote, sell out. I think selling out is a very personal choice. I don't think, you know, what one person does is selling out for another person, but... I feel like once you're famous, now your life has changed so much, you can't undo it unless your life unravels in a way.
Yes.
Unless you completely lose everything, you can't change the amount of fame and that. And then if you lose that fame, you lose the money that comes with it. It's such a, for me, if I had the kind of fame that Miley Cyrus has, for example, I'd be panicked every day. I'm not saying don't give me opportunities and don't let me speak my mind and don't let me entertain people for money. I'm saying don't follow me with every move I make.
Right.
You know? I'll let you know.
Well, right. And that's kind of that's also a weird, beautiful thing that podcast gives you is it gives you this weird kind of underground thing where you aren't so you're not that like, it's not like that's something probably any of us would beat away if it came to us, but it creates this new version of having an audience because you guys are beloved. You guys are like people consider you their best friends. Like people are addicted to you. They consider you to be their friends. They feel
we are friends with them. We are friends with a lot of listeners.
I am your friend.
Keith married a listener,
that's
how friendly we get.
I'm going to go through all of them. It's going to be a long
You're
process.
You're going to marry all your listeners.
It's going to be your turn soon. Just wait it out.
You know what's interesting is, you know, if you let people have that kind of medium, if you let us record whatever we want, turns out we'll tell you everything. Our show has all the crazy, I mean, we're not completely open about apps. We have some private life, but
I can't name something, but something.
Right. We have told you in the past 8.5 years, pretty much everything that has happened in our life, all the big events, all the emotional scarring, all the hardships, all the fun things that have happened. So it's interesting that we still want to do that, but we just want to do it our way so that we're heard in the way that we feel comfortable.
Now, that seems to be one thread that runs through all really good podcasts, mm-hmm. is that tendency towards honesty or that revelatory tendency where you don't want to hold anything back, to the point where sometimes I'll find, like, after I've uploaded a podcast, I'll think like, holy shit, man, what did you just tell everybody? You know, because you get so comfortable with this this medium that you want to... There's a confessional aspect to it, right. Isn't there? And
yeah, but everyone wants to be seen. Everyone wants to be known in a way that it's like, this is really me. So I'll tell you who I am if you're really listening.
Yes.
But that's why we go. I mean, people meet at, you know, at their homes, in coffee shops, to share their stories with each other. I think we're the only species who has to do that. I don't think that, you know, lizards are getting together like, you have no idea what kind of morning I had. Seriously, and this weather on top of everything, just kill me now.
Right.
Picture of a worm. I'm going to eat that later. I don't know what to eat.
Oh, God, I so wish lizards went to restaurants. I wish there were little mini restaurants for lizards. You see the lizard menu. So yeah, I think that that is... the polar opposite of the old model of the entertainer. Because the old model of the entertainer, remember scandals? Like scandals. You could have a scandal. Yeah. Like someone finds out some little thing about you and that's called a scandal. And there seems to be this weird divergence that's happening between these old school private types who just want to keep everything to themselves and put on this sort of impression of who, you know, like think about George Clooney.
Right.
I don't know anything about fucking George Clooney.
He is a pig and he's hard to tie down.
You think he's a pig?
No, he has a pig. He owns a potbelly pig.
He's not kidding.
Holy shit. Yeah. I love him more and more. I know he's buying a satellite. Did you hear about that?
No.
He's buying a satellite to spy on Sudan because he's really into what's going on over there. He's doing activism with him.
Do that, and you know, you just gave him up, right?
What's that?
He just gave his position away.
Sudan's listening.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people, a lot of
you never know.
Sudanese rebels listen to my podcast.
This is the thing when people, it kind of goes back to what you were saying. Most podcasters record in their apartment or their house, like you're doing, and they know it's going out, but they're like, I'm in my house. It's almost like I'm talking to myself. So, and they share, then they share their personal things. And then you're like, wait a minute, I just uploaded that. You don't know what's going on in the Sudan. You just assume there's no way they're hearing you. But if you have something to say to them, say it.
Don't shoot down Clooney's satellite, you assholes.
Right, he's just watching.
And stop bombing people.
Right, and now maybe say it with less cursing so they're not offended.
My sweet friends in the Sudan. Why must we kill each other? You're so evil that you have George Clooney watching you.
You can't help yourself.
He has a pig to take care of, people. Please.
Look, strangers are just friends we haven't met yet. And speak a language we don't know.
Oh, wow.
And have a way of life that's incomprehensible. But you, still.
Now, you guys, you're very positive people. Do you think that that's another thread running through this thing? Do you feel a responsibility to not put negative shit out there?
Oh, my God. Don't let everything just be based on Keith's sarcastic speech just now.
Yeah, I would not say I'm a positive person. I'm a negative person, but you don't see the negativity dripping off of me. I think nothing's in my life specifically. I think nothing's really going to work out on the way, but at the end, somehow it's all going to work out. It makes no sense. and I thinking these little things aren't going to work out, I'm almost never disappointed. Because of that, I seem like a positive person. You
right.
see what I mean?
Yes.
I'm positive because I'm always negative.
You're positive, right? Well, okay. You call it negative.
Right.
But I'm just reading this book by Chogyam Trungpa about Buddhism. And
is that a real person?
His real name's David Williams. He had to change it so people would listen to him. I was thinking that, like, if Buddha's name had been Frank, mm-hmm. would the religion even exist if his name...
There's a documentary about that. I'm forgetting his name, but he specifically grew out a beard and grew out his hair and wore the kinds of clothing that a, quote, guru would wear.
Yeah.
And he presented himself as such. He made up his own sort of religion and following, and just to discover if people would follow him and how they would feel about it. But he changed people's lives in the process because he did give them what they need. He gave them some peace of mind.
Yes, right. That is a very postmodern documentary, and I haven't watched it yet because I love Ram Dass, and I love his, you know, Ram Dass. He's like Richard Alpert. He was a Harvard professor.
Are you thinking Ramstein?
Who?
Rammstein,
the band?
Maybe that's what you're thinking.
Rammstein, the gay heavy black metal band.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I worship them. I have an altar to them. I spray goat's blood on every morning. Anyway, it's the point is I like to believe in magic. And I like to believe that in some people, there in a person, right. in yourself, there's the ability to cultivate a state of love all the time. I like to believe that that's possible. And so I like stories about gurus or people who have really reached a heightened state and that transform people. And that it's called Kumare, I think is the name of it. And that documentary is very challenging to me.
Isn't Kumare what I'm drinking right now?
That's kombucha.
Wow.
I love that I've introduced you guys to kombucha and the Oculus Rift. That's very exciting to me. Two very important things.
That was trippy, yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, so anyway,
I think that you're right, and I don't think that we necessarily need gurus. I think that gurus are sort of used like therapists. You are outside of my life,
yes.
So you are able to look with a fresh perspective. You're able to be calm, or at least for me, you're calm because you don't know what's going on in me, so that I could mirror that calm. And I could sit beside you and feel that. And so in a way, yeah, they are doing that to you. But I think that we both could sit here and say, hey, let's be calm. Let's pass our energy. Let's, you know, really love each other, you know. And I'm not, obviously, I'm not talking
what
sexually.
What do you mean pass our energy?
Like if I, like just now, I changed your energy and I saw it in your face.
Yeah.
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 I think that you can do that.
She's a witch. You witch me, woman.
He likes the idea of magic, but when it happens, it's witchcraft.
Yes, for sure. No, right. Well,
that could happen in just getting to know you, in feeling like I'm coming over to really sit down with you, not to judge you, not to look around and say, oh, this part's dirty in your house, or this part's this way or
better
that way.
Better not be. The maid just came this morning.
This house is amazing.
That's
really
because the maid was just here. I'd like you to believe that this is what it's always like.
Done. But you could do that to other people, and I'm sure you have, you know, and I'm sure you have with your podcast. I'm sure you have when you introduce them to new and exciting things because you're excited about it. You like to pass on your excitement to people. When we first came in here, you're like, we can't record anything. You have to see my new toy.
Yeah.
And so we got excited for you. So you passed your energy to us because you're so in tune with that energy and you want to give it to us. It's almost like you're handing it to us.
Right. And isn't that the instinct of podcasts? You want to do that for the world. You want to pass on the, you want to pass. It seems like podcasts.
You don't have to. I think some people are just there to entertain, which I guess you're passing on some, you know, happy feelings.
You're passing on boredom. It's like, I think what's, yeah, like who wants to be entertained by, like, you know, that whole thing I think is just dying. And I think that's one of the byproducts.
Entertainment?
Not entertainment, but bullshit entertainment. Okay. I think there's something about when people, like, you know, you turn on Jay Leno, very funny. Conan O'Brien, very I don't know. Why did I say very? Yeah, okay, entertaining. Okay, funny. Moments that might be funny. At least something that, like, I can't believe I just said Jay
something
Leno.
Had to have happened that was once funny.
It's biased. Entertainment is very biased.
25 minute mark, delete. Me saying I think Jay Leno is funny.
He had to have done something.
Yes.
Although everybody says what a great stand-up he was back in the day, I feel like people feel bad if they don't give somebody something. I've never seen my $1 million challenge.
Oh, boy.
Show me a videotape of Jay Leno ever being funny, doing stand-up back in the day. I want to see this great Jay Leno. It's so fucking good. We have Bill Hicks. We have the guy that invented cursing. We have George Carlin as a kid. I've never seen one tape of Jay Leno. He was so fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
That's Keith passing on the positivity.
I'm very positive.
That is positive.
I'm positive. Fuck him.
Yeah, but it's coming. But you can't help it because love's coming out. And that's the thing.
That chin is like a devil horn in reverse.
Here's the thing about negativity and positivity. People think being positive means that you only say nice things. That's crap. I think that you can, if you're a happy person, or if you have within you this weird connective sense that some people either have through working on themselves or just through experience or who knows what,
right,
then it doesn't matter what you say. You really can spew hate for Jay Leno for 20 minutes and it's just going to make people smile. Whereas someone who's got worms in their heart, someone who hasn't worked on themselves, they can talk about how we all need to love each other and it's so important that we connect in a real way and really unify and move in the direction of God. And you feel as though you just got molested by some sicko. Yeah. And it's because the words are just a sort of medium through which some deeper energy gets transmitted, which is why I said...
Because they're full of shit and you could feel it. You could sense it. They're talking past you. If you were so in love with love and me and energy and everything that I am, you wouldn't talk through me. You would actually be looking at me. Yes. You would see that I'm not comfortable with what you're saying. Yes. You would feel my molestation and stop raping me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Exactly. So, and that's like, that's why I love this idea of there being like a real Kumari or a real guru type, because the idea is that it's like a being that's so plugged into that thing that most people only feel every once in a while. Like every once in a while, I will feel like taking a walk on the river or something, you know, if I'm stoned maybe with my dog. And it's just this moment of like, man, what a great universe. This is a really beautiful moment. And then I'll plunge into like days of neurosis after I think about something I said to like an ex-girlfriend, and like I'll be rolled under the wave of my own neurosis. But those moments, the idea is that like maybe you can cultivate it so you're always in that state, or there's always just this sense of like, ah, this is great.
Would you really be podcasting if you always felt, ah, this is great? We still have to maneuver our way through life and make money and live in the world that we already, I guess, not committed to, you know, that we're already in, that has already been set up for us. And no matter what, we have to understand that this is the setup. So we could be activists and we could try to change the world. But, you know, I don't mean to seem negative, but at the end of the day, we are still living in that world. And unless we make massive changes with everybody in on it, it's still going to be this world. So why don't you hold on to that meditation and that lovely moment, and that will get you through, you know, the hard job that you have to go through. And maybe it's not that we have to be in a state of constant love of, you know, every single moment and appreciation. Maybe we have to be realistic in order to keep maneuvering and keep moving and keep doing what we need to do. Mm.
Yeah, so like the...
You could still appreciate it, though, all day long.
But the idea, you know, it's kind of like drugs. It's like if you get attached to some specific psychological state, then you're just addicted to a neurological drug. You're addicted to whatever mix of dopamine and serotonin happen to be pumping out at that very moment.
Like being addicted to anger.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. It sounds like you want to be addicted to nirvana.
Yeah. I just watched this documentary last night on happiness. It's on Netflix. It's really fucking good.
I keep meaning to watch that. Is it good?
Oh, it's great.
You should watch Kumari. It's not going to make you bummed out.
I'll check it out. Yeah, it's interesting because the idea of a guru is not that they reflect what's already inside of you. They're just reflecting. You're just using, you're bouncing off of them. We're bouncing off of everybody. Like when you see someone, you're seeing some percentage of what they are and a larger percentage of what you think they are.
Yeah, but a guru is someone safe to bounce off of because right. we want to show everybody who we are and we want to show our vulnerabilities, but a guru is somebody safe that you could say, I'm going to show you that I am so, you know, black-hearted or feeling so down or so upset with myself. I've made some bad moves. It's sort of like what people get out of a priest, but a priest has that judgment and harshness and Catholicism and craziness and, you know, terrible, terrible magic in there. A guru is coming from nowhere. It's not coming from, and then you have to say Hail Mary. And then you have to do this. It's, and then you take care of yourself. And I will hold your hand maybe during the process.
Love you. I'll love you during the process.
Yeah.
And that's why I think podcasts are an interesting version of that, because what we're doing in our weird confessional way, when you find yourself announcing to the world whatever darkness is inside of you, what you're doing is you're giving everyone else in the world this permission to be like that too, in a good way, where it's like, oh shit, the thing that they're announcing with no fear is something I've been hiding from myself or from my family.
You're absolutely right. I was listening to your show and I'm like, yeah, I do fucking hate summer. You know what I mean? Fuck it.
Yeah,
this fucking sweat. Winter, you can put on something more. You can't keep taking off. You're absolutely right.
But you also have a thing, Keith, that you say that no matter what we say on our show, no matter how crazy we feel it is.
At least a quarter of our audience is feeling the same way.
Yes.
You're not alone in any bullshit that you're going through. Anything that you think is absolutely insane and somebody will point a finger and say like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Somebody else is going to go, no, that's true.
But do you see this is why podcasts are weirdly healing, because up until this point where we've been able to do this kind of, I don't know what you call it, whatever it is, this interaction to record these kinds of interactions, you would watch TV and you'd turn on the Brady Bunch, or you'd watch an interview on Letterman with some famous person, and everyone's great. Great.
Yeah.
Big smiles, glowing with happiness. They look fucking good. 99% of the time, no one's like, yeah, you know, Dave, I just got one of my balls chopped off, and I'm kind of worrying that maybe, you know, I might have to get the other one chopped off one day, and then I'm going to be a eunuch. What do you think about that, Dave?
And even when we hear, you know, these scandals, let's say, a divorce or your show just got canceled, they don't talk about it. And I feel like I'm being lied to almost. You know, like, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? A sentence or two is all it takes.
Yeah.
I was on board with you this whole time. Let me be on board with you through this also. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then what that creates is a culture of shame and denial where people, because people naturally imitate celebrities or people they see on TV. And so suddenly you start thinking like, oh shit, I guess I have to smile all the time, feel good all the time. And if any kind of darkness comes into me, I should hide it because I don't want my own scandals. When the truth is, we're a fucking primate hive. We're and as primates, a big part of what we are is monkey.
Yeah, but that's not to say that people should just unload on you. I feel like there's a distinction. There's like a huge difference between going, hey, how you doing? And you're like, my life sucks. Let me just pour this shit on you. Because that is negativity. I mean, you still have to be aware that there's another human being also probably going through something.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you're right, you guys. It is a balance, but I'm sure you guys must get loads of fan mail all the time.
And we take that in, and that's the way it's a two-way street, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you find yourself being changed by the audience? Like the input from the audience teaches you or...
I wish I had an example, but I know the answer is absolutely.
Elvis.
Our buddy Elvis.
A listener who has like pretty much a whole arm tattooed of different Keith and the Girl things. When we were broken up initially, we didn't tell anyone, and Elvis was going through
leukemia.
Yeah, and a really like part of the hardest times of his leukemia. So Keith would to help himself feel better would go on our chat room, keithandthegirl.com/chat. Just go on there, and sometimes there's just people going there. He would start a party, and they would just interact with each other. And one of the biggest supporters and interactors was this guy Elvis, and they didn't even know that they were helping each other through one of the roughest times of their lives. and they were just kind of there. They didn't really have to talk about it, and they weren't talking about it. They were escaping from it together, knowing that, like, you know, you gather positivity so that you can, you know, kind of stay neutral for the rest of the day. And so they were, they replenished each other. They did that thing where, you know, when you're playing a video game, ooh, yes. Power up, yes. You know?
Yeah.
So they were powering each other, and it was such a, and I didn't know this until Elvis came for the first time to New York. And I saw the look on Keith's face when I said, like, hey, let's invite him to this thing. And Keith never gets this response, or almost never. And he, the sense of excitement in his face was really, I don't know.
It palpable.
Was, yeah, it was so sweet.
I bet.
Here's
yeah.
my buddy Elvis coming, the guy who saved my life. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another side of this thing. Is it like I've made now, I mean, I have a lot of my best friends are people I've just had on the podcast that were, right. after that right. I've become friends with. And then I'm friends with people who listen to the podcast. I just, you end up making friends with them. So it's this whole weird new thing. Where do you guys think it's going to go? In 5 years, what do you think podcasting is going to look like in 5 years?
Well, after it bounces off Clooney's satellite, I don't know. Just like you know,
it
TV,
to...
anything, just bigger, more
TV. Yeah,
people know. No, not podcasts going to TV per se. Just this, you know, take it. I mean, I don't want to name dying things, radio or newspaper, but take anything. You know, it's more legit. People know what podcasts are now. They didn't 8 years ago. We
right.
find a different word for it so people understood. Internet talk show was tough for people to get their head around. But now everybody knows what it is. It's in your phone. It has its own section. It has its own app that comes with your phone, all this. Just more and more. Just, for lack of a better word, a legitimate thing.
Yeah, I think yeah. it's gaining more respect. And when you gain more respect as a medium, you kind of can navigate to where you want it to go. It's still podcasting. It's still independent. If you want it to be, you could still join a network. But networks are mostly run by other comics who respect the independence of, you know, turning on a mic when you want, booking your own shows and your own guests and
right.
things like that. So, yeah, the more respect we have, the more doors open, the more opportunities we have to pick and choose from.
Do you think you're going to you think you're going to end up with a TV show or something? Is that the direction you want to go in?
It's not something we're angling for per se, but maybe.
Right.
We got a book deal. We weren't angling for that
right.
either. We weren't asking for it, but an agent approached us thanks to Scott Sigler, another podcaster who's well-respected, who got on the bestseller list with his books, and he recommended us. And that, all of a sudden, we were writing a book, you know, and,
wow.
and it's out, and it was,
first
it did really well.
First 2,000, the initial printing sold out in a week. It's very exciting.
Wow.
A Random House book, yeah.
So, you guys are so cool. I know you got to go. How are you doing?
We have a few more minutes. We have like 10.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Man, I
hate saying that. We only have 10 minutes.
No, I know. Well, you're busy. You're only in LA for until tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I'm
yeah.
sure you got to like, are you doing other podcasts today?
We are, but also, you know, I haven't had a chance. I've been here for a week. Haven't had a chance to really sit down with my brother, Michael, who lives here.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend, Maricela, who I adore them both. And I do want to really sit with them instead of being like, we got to go this way,
yes.
tell your dad to drive us, blah, blah, blah,
right.
you know?
Right.
What else do we have going today? Can you help us with this mailer?
That's a positive family, though. Like, you
yeah.
know, Maricela's dad is driving us around, and they're like, okay, let me know, and, you know, we'll do your laundry when we're gone. And it's like,
yeah.
I don't know, we don't want you and your family doing all this stuff. That's what we do. We're family. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Is that what it's supposed to be?
God.
yeah. Maricela has the kind of family that we're like, yeah, could you marry into ours so that we can just decide that that's how it works?
But now don't you owe him forever?
Right? Isn't he passive aggressively just mean to you after that?
Doesn't he make your next 7 choices?
Next 7 choices? What is that? That's awesome. That's a great idea. What is that? What's that from?
I don't know. Just,
that's a funny idea. That's a great idea for I hate saying this. That's a great idea for a movie.
Right.
Somebody gets to make 7 choices in a row.
Like you saved her life or something.
Well, you know what?
If it's another book.
There's a. No,
you're wasting your time.
There's a funny British TV show called My New Best Friend.
Okay.
Where basically the comic would come live with you for a weekend. And the only rule is you could not give away that you actually didn't know him. And
okay.
so basically the idea behind it was he would destroy your life for the weekend.
Right.
And if you could stay with him for a weekend without letting people know,
you get a free CD.
You get money, a lot of money.
Okay.
So he would do things like make them write resignation letters and send it to their boss. He would hang out with
them. What the fuck?
Well, yeah. Why would you do
that? So you lose your job. Are you willing to lose your job, your house set on fire, and
he wouldn't set your house on fire. It was more, but yes, girlfriend stuff. It was more psychological. It was pretty funny to watch. It was kind of brutal. But
would you do that? Who would do that? Let's say it would have to be money for the rest of my life. It wouldn't even, because my relationships in general, not even with the person, you know, that's, you know, my number one, are so important. It takes a lifetime to build this kind of thing. I'm not sending them a letter of resignation because you're funny.
But you're clearly a healthy person. Have you ever seen the contract people have to sign for American Idol?
Right.
Yeah.
You saw that on the internet?
It looks like a terms and conditions.
I signed it. I tried out for American Idol. I was out of ideas. This is before the podcast. I've been trying to become a singer, and Keith was like, "You really should try out for this." And I said, "I guess so. I don't know what else to do. It's coming, and it's the first time they opened it up to people who were a little older than 23 or 24. I had just missed the age when they first started.
Demons. That
it was nonsense. Don't bother doing it. And I'm not saying like, hey, they should have picked me. But I could sing a little bit.
They sort of picked her, and they use you for the line mostly.
Yeah.
So you know, and I saw
this. I felt like an idiot.
Hemda goes in, and it's like four people in front of judges, not the you know famous ones, and they go down the line and sing, and Hemda's saying "Beans Don't Burn" in the kitchen, right? And a little
we're moving on up. I'm not gonna keep
no, that. Do it.
Come on.
You know. All right.
Let's hear.
We're moving on up to the east side to a deluxe apartment in the sky. And okay, that's enough.
That's my voice.
I'm in the car singing sometimes to whatever's on the radio.
No.
And Hunter goes, okay, but you know, if you're gonna sing it right, and then I go, no, that's I am singing it. And she goes, no, you could sing better than that. So I sing again. She goes, no, I mean, do it for real. You can sing better than that.
Stop telling that story. It makes me sound so obnoxious.
No.
I never tell people to sing right. Here's what happened with me and Keith that day. Keith has like really good rhythm. I feel like he could play the drums if he just, you know, took a couple lessons or just kind of, you know, applied any kind of energy to it. Not that I'm saying he has to, but he's got that thing happening. And so I was like, whoa, when he sings with the radio, there's only a couple things that are pitchy and he seems like he's mocking it. So I was like, hey, I want to hear you without mocking it. I want to see what you really sound like. Right. And he took offense. I'm just like, I think you're mocking
Why would he take offense?
Thank you.
You think that his singing voice is a parody.
Well, because he's sarcastic all the time. And because when I sing with the radio, a lot of times I sing sarcastically because a lot of times when you do have the ability to sing and you sing with the radio, people get annoyed. They're like, okay, we get it. You could sing. So I mock it. I thought he was mocking it.
You're a talented person. Talented people are really funny. It's like walking down the street and you know, it's like being like a professional athlete and you're jogging and you're running in a marathon. Like you ever seen the Ethiopians run in a marathon?
Right.
They're so fast. They're doing like 12 miles per hour and it looks like anyone could do it. You're like that. And you're like someone running by someone who has like a bad knee, just trying to do the marathon just to do it.
And she's
like,
running backwards in heels.
You're running backwards in heels being like, hey, why are you joke running?
Oh, man.
why don't you real run? You should try real running, not joke running. That's clown running. That's funny running. It's like, this is all I can do.
It was a compliment. I was seeing a talent in him. And it's really because, oh, you know what? Fuck you guys.
I just know what it's like. Because my singing voice is awful. It is awful.
Let's hear a little bit.
We're moving on.
We're moving on up to the top.
Can you stop joking?
We finally got
up the thing and we got money. And then other things.
That's my voice. Yeah. My friend is a singer. He's in a band. And when I remember singing in front of him once. And he's like, man, maybe you should get your hearing checked.
Oh, shit.
Like
maybe you should get your throat fixed. Our hearing.
Yeah,
come on.
No, it's some. It has something to do with like hearing too, because like maybe like if you hear your voice in a certain way, you can modulate it better or something. But I don't know. I can't. I just don't have that kind of vocal control.
Which is really interesting because Keith can hear better than me. No joke.
I have insane hearing. Yeah. And like doing when we do our podcast, I hear like a little sound going on that nobody else hears, and I got to fix it, and it's a pain. I wish I had worse hearing.
You guys have a podcast studio though. Like you're,
yeah. we turn an apartment into a studio. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys are at the that seems to be like the ultimate podcasting level. As it goes from your living room to suddenly you're in a studio.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that. I would say like this is just. It's the same out of our house. We started out of our house. The reason why it's not in our house is because we're not a couple anymore. Right. And so we didn't want to put the studio in one of our houses. We felt like, you know, if we lived with someone and we were going to live with someone, then it intrudes on their life.
Right.
And because we do it every day, it's not a once a week thing. So we have a commitment to it every day. It's better that we go somewhere else.
Right. And there's something about going somewhere else where you're going to work, let's
say. Yeah, because we're there all day, like a job. We meet at a time. We work on the show. Danny Hatch, we now hired to help Keith with show notes. I answer some emails and, you know, do the more production. And so we're doing that. So what you're hearing is an hour or two of our show every day. But we're in the studio all day long.
I got to step it up.
Nah.
I'm lucky if I spurt one of these things out every week. You guys are in there every day.
But you're doing stand-up and you have other projects going on.
Right.
You're writing for TV. You're doing this kind of thing. We, you know, aside from like some book deals.
This is all we got! And what a great all we got. This is, you know, what a wonderful thing, man.
Yeah.
How can people find you?
Go to keithandthegirl.com, and of course all the social stuff, Twitter, Facebook, all this, look up Keith and the Girl.
And we're on iTunes under Keith and the Girl. Please find us there. And, you know, if you like it, give us some stars. If you don't, please mind your own business.
Positivity is what it's all about.
Yeah, don't do one star rating, you dicks. What is that? And also, your book. What's the book called?
The book is What Do We Do Now? And Keith also wrote a book called The Great American Novel. It's about his life. We have it in audio form as well, an ebook as well.
Is that on Audible?
It's on Audible now, yeah, and it's also in our store. And Keith's new CD just came out. Good, Clean, Fun. It's the first time that he's clean ever. And, well, you know, kind of clean, right?
Clean in that there's not curse words. Dirty in that sometimes you watch something on CBS and you're like, he just said that.
Right.
He really still just said that. So I did it that way. Like, I do like one stand-up show every year. I don't have the passion for it like you do, but I love the challenge. And so
this is 10th album.
This 10th one I did like a best. Every year it's different, but this 10th one was like a best of, but I'm going to make it.
Wait.
Quote, clean.
You have 10 albums? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Wow, man. That's
so funny. You got to hear him do stand-up.
Wow. How often do you stand-up?
Once a year.
You
practice in my house. Yeah, seriously. Once a year. I do an hour.
He's on pause right now.
Are you watching me have a midlife crisis in front of you? Because like I've been doing stand up forever. I have no album.
How dare you? You should.
I don't record
an album.
Yeah.
I don't want to record an album for. I don't know.
Well, then you don't want. If you don't want to, you don't want to. But if you're looking like, damn, I wish I had some albums. Make an album. It's you have a studio in your house. Make an album.
Man, I wish you guys lived in town. You're fucking cool.
Come to our town.
Yeah, I'll be out there. I'll be out there eventually for sure. And I'm going to have a link to all your stuff on the website. So guys, go definitely check them out because these are legends. And I think all podcasts owe a little bit to you guys because you really did.
Wow, thanks.
You are trailblazers. And I'm honored that you took the time out of your busy schedule to be on my podcast.
This has been so much fun. It's been so nice connecting with you, and this I'm gonna turn into a hippie right now. And
please do.
You have a great vibe.
Thanks, I
enjoyed your organic coffee.
Oh, great!
Thank you very much for having
us. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening, my sweet darlings. If you enjoy this podcast, give us a little rating on iTunes, won't you? And go listen to Keith and the Girl. And hold yourself tonight. Know that you are love. Everything will work out just fine. I promise you. Even though you might end up completely lonely, homeless, cast aside by the winds of fate, at least you still have the swirl of atoms that makes up your body. And when you have a swirl of atoms that you can control, you are more powerful than a mountain. Because mountains can't do anything except sit there and watch climbers fall off of them. I should go now. Have a great week.